Welcome to Southeast Geeks, a Silicon Slopes East podcast devoted to what people are geeky about in Southeast Utah. On these podcasts, we interview locals, business owners, and individuals that like to spend time in Southeast Utah for one geeky reason or another. These episodes may be about individuals or companies doing high-tech things in the region or entertaining activities that people are passionate about in Southeast Utah. Today, we are talking with Megan McFall of the Utah State University Blanding Small Business Development Center and the USU Spark Building. The Small Business Development Center at USU Blanding campus offers a variety of services, including meeting space, a computer center, print, scan, and copy services, 3D printing, a media center, personal consultations, business plan and marketing strategies, training, and now a co-working space. Today, we are talking with Megan to get to know her a little bit and to learn more about how the Small Business Development Center benefits Southeast Utah. Welcome, Megan.
Thank you for having me.
Let's get started, but let's kind of break the ice a little bit and get to know you a little bit before we delve into what you do as your employment. Can you name for us three geeky things that you would say that you are geeky about in Southeast Utah? Or that you have to do in Southeast Utah?
That I do in Southeast Utah. That's actually something that I'm learning a lot. I'm actually very much a city girl. And so as I came to Southeastern Utah, I'm beginning to learn the outdoors type thing. I've done a lot of hiking and a lot of ATVing, which I'm realizing that I absolutely love and enjoy quite a bit. And then I recently did my first jeeping trip, which is a huge thing to do out here in Moab and San Juan County. So those are some things that I'm really enjoying and learning how to do and done almost for the first time for the most part. Now in this last year. So that's been a lot of fun.
So where do you come from originally?
I moved here actually from Utah County. I lived in Eagle Mountain before and have my office based in Lehigh in the middle of Silicon Slopes, which is awesome. But I've lived all over the United States and had the pleasure of working with so many different people all over the place. So I've been have a wide vast background.
So what brought you to San Juan County and the Small Business Development Center? Is it the employment or other reasons?
It was the employment. At the time, I was looking for a fresh start, a new place due to things that happened in the past year. And I had applied for a position that I thought was actually at Utah State in Logan because I have family in Logan. And needless to say, it was a little bit of a surprise when they said it was in Blanding, Utah. So it was a bit of a shock. But I fell in love with the people, and it's been a fun experience, and I wouldn't trade it.
Well, and I would agree with you. I love that campus. It's a beautiful campus. It's set in a beautiful area. It's that beautiful red rock desert landscape. So great place to be. Why don't we talk a little bit about your position there at the Small Business Development Center? What does the center do, and what do you do for them specifically?
So I'm actually the director here at Spark, as well as a Small Business Development Center. And so what Spark stands for is Small Business Personal Development Application Resources and Certificates. So we recently renamed this building, which is really exciting. And we did that in order for it to encompass everything we do here at our center. So we have one part of it, like you mentioned, is a co-working space, which is exciting for both the tourists that come through the area, because we now have a great internet hub and co-working space to upload your podcasts and edit your YouTube videos or whatever you might be doing if you're a nomad, business nomad, like we love to see, or whether you are a remote worker and need a place to come and work that's quiet and you can get away with the reliable internet. The other side, we have the Innovation Training Center, where we have what we call entrepreneur fundamentals, which takes somebody that's just barely going into business that doesn't know anything all the way over up and trains them in pretty much every aspect of business, which is really, really exciting. You can do that at self-paced, and you can do that in live classes as well, which is exciting. And we also do the university's non-credit workforce development through the Innovation Center as well. And so we get to work with the industrial certifications and items like that and work with the businesses one-on-one. And the reason why we paired that with a small business development center that's also in this building is then we get to work with businesses and not only coach them and help develop them and get them through COVID and expansion and different things like that, but we also get to know what their needs are employment-wise and then couple it with the workforce development. And if we need to bring in new training or we need to do different things in order to work with the development in our area, we really can center that around whichever items we're specifically working for, which is a lot of fun and has had a massive impact on our local area and the businesses, which has been really, really cool. One of my favorite aspects of my job is actually being the director of the Small Business Development Center and being able to work with businesses one-on-one, whether you're a startup going fresh into business or you're an existing business looking to expand or just move past COVID. That's my bread and butter. That's what I absolutely love is in working with existing businesses and being able to help move into that next level or be help to market research and expand or whatever that might look like to you. But that's my favorite part is to be able to work with the businesses one-on-one because that's where my background is. So I love that.
You mentioned your co-working center there. You've received funding, I believe it was from the state of Utah to help develop that center and such. Is it up and running now? And what are you enjoying or what is some of the best fruits of those efforts right now?
Yes, we've been lucky enough to read actually two grants. We're on that. We just got awarded our second grant from the state of Utah under the economic development. So we do have a small co-working space that's up and running right now. That was utilized on the first one. And then on our second one, we were expanding that into a 20-desk co-working space that will have 10 additional computers and items like that. So yes, we are up and running for on a small basis right now, but we're looking forward within the next 90 days to be able to really expand that. And hopefully the back orders on COVID and things like that don't delay that opening or that estimated opening is what we're looking for. And we're able to open that up to a full center at that point in time. We have been able to see a wide variety of different people come in and utilize the center, everything from students looking for a quiet place to study and to take self-paced courses via Canvas through our center, or all the way up to business owners just needing an office space to come in and sit and do their office and to develop their businesses through and work with the SBDC. But also being that we are the only internet hub in San Juan County currently that is up and running, we have been able to work with so many different tourists from all over the nation, being that a lot of our travel and tourism right now is domestic. We've been able to meet a lot of really incredible people and be able to expand and talk to them about what they do. And like I said, the van life seems to be really, really popular right now. And so we've been able to talk to people about, you know, what their experiences are with that and as they upload their videos and things like that and kind of be a part of that and explore, you know, how we can help them as a center. And that's where we came up with, for example, the virtual desk, where if they're in our area for a long period of time or they're going to be traveling through this area and able to utilize that co-working space, but also have mail shipped here and things like that so that they can really have a home base and be registered as a business within our county and be able to really set themselves up and move forward and expand while they're in the van life and that in that setting. So we've really tried to answer those questions and move forward in that direction, which has been a lot of fun.
Do you envision with the co-working space that you can take some of those businesses and some of those entrepreneurs into that next level and help them in the SBDC portion of the agency you have there and the work that you do?
I do. I see this as being a stepping stone for several different businesses as they start up and they get their footing. Because we're in like a different HUD zone, for example, we're able to work with the SBA and make sure that as their offices are here, that it qualifies as HUD zone and then use it as a stepping stone into a larger office as they have lower startup costs, but are able to truly get their business up and running and move on to the next phase. But the other really cool part about being here As a startup or as a smaller business, you're able to collaborate and work together with other businesses and realize that, hey, as I work this angle of my business, I can also collaborate with another business and we can work together and develop something together that benefits us both. And we've seen that several times too, as our center and our incubator has really started to take off. So that's been a lot of fun as well, to see businesses seeing how they can work together and develop a product or a brand together that will really, really expand both businesses and get the name out there. So that's been a lot of fun.
Since you've been there with the SBDC, have you noticed any kind of myths or misconceptions that around the SBDC and maybe even around co-working spaces, because obviously co-working spaces are different throughout the nation. Any myths or misconceptions you want to clear up maybe?
So something that I've noticed about the SBDC network is actually a nationwide network. And I get all the time that I had a bad experience at one of my SBDCs, and whether that was here in our state of Utah or in another state, they had a bad experience. And that's a horrible situation, because the SBDC network can offer so much education, help, one-on-one coaching, whatever that might be. And so the key is, when I talk to people, it's usually because a difference in personality maybe, or the coach that they initially met with the first time wasn't an expert in their particular industry, whatever that might have been. So I encourage people, there's a couple of different things. When you're going into an SBDC, make sure that you are talking to somebody that's an expert in your industry. One thing that's really, really neat about the state of Utah is we do know the different centers and how they're experts in different industries. For example, I have a really, really big background in e-commerce as well as restaurants. My degree is in culinary arts and food service management. And so a lot of the restaurants are sent to me so I can help develop, because that's where my background is. Make sure you're working with somebody that knows that industry, because that's where a lot of the background and a lot of the bad experiences come from, is you're not working with somebody that knows that industry. And so ask them, hey, do you have somebody within your network that knows this industry really, really well? And generally there is. We've got a huge network that works with us. And as soon as I know that I've hit something that's out of my realm, I reach out to our network. And that's the really, really cool part, is we do have a huge backing there. And the other myth that I hear all the time is the first thing I have people do is I go and I send them online to request services. And part of that is signing a confidentiality agreement. A lot of the fear is, by putting your business information, that's very, very private for people. Your personal information, it's like your personal information. You don't want to get that out. Same thing for your business. And one thing that I want to make sure everybody knows, when they come into an SBDC center, the information that goes into that SBDC center is private and confidential. And I think that that's a misconception as well, is that information, you know, once it goes into our client center, that's where it stays. I'm the only one in our center that has access to any of that information. It doesn't go to the SBA. It doesn't go to any other center. Nobody else has access to that. That's all confidential, and that stays yours. And that's a big, big concern I've seen, is people come in, they don't want to go in and do that request for service, because it does ask for your business information so that we have the best way to help you. So we know, oh, you're going to qualify for that grant, or you're going to be able to work with that kind of funding, or whatever that might be, especially as we were going through a COVID, to be able to help them with the different resources there were. So it was really, really important to know that that is a confidentiality agreement that you're signing, and we don't break that. That's a trust between us and you, and we want to make sure that that's in place. So
that reminded me of another thought I had related to that. I think for me, for example, and I'm sure other people have this same kind of fear, is they may have a really good idea for a business, but they don't know how to put it into place. And so, you know, do people have that fear when they come into you saying that they're fearful of sharing their idea for a business or their intellectual property because they're afraid it might be stolen because it's not copyrighted or whatever?
They do. I get that all the time, actually. They either want to patent that idea, or they have a business idea and they're afraid that will be taken if they talk too much about it. And that is simply not the case within here. And if you want to keep like a private meeting and come in and you want to see, you know, what the feasibility of that business is, That's one of the first things that I want to take you through. If you're a startup, we want to say, I take you through four themes. I want to know, do you have an opportunity there? So if you have that, come in, let's talk. And we can talk privately, nobody else, as far as other consultants, assistants, things like that, nobody else in the room, and talk about, those different aspects of your business, whether that be on Zoom or face-to-face in the office. Then we want to say, what do you do next? Is the patent process the next best phase, or do we need to do some market research and see if the financial feasibility of that particular idea is the best next phase? And then then the next thing is, what does your company overview look like? Moving into the business plan, the next phases of a business plan, and then how do you make money with that particular idea? And we go through those four steps to make sure that you're really ready to go and you know the backing of your idea and you know how to go out and make that profitable for yourself. But yes, that is a concern a lot of people have. And again, that goes back to that confidentiality. It is so, so important that you sign that confidentiality, because I've had to sign that confidentiality for you. Every single client that I sit down and meet with, I've already signed that paperwork, and now it's your turn to sign that paperwork. So make sure that you do that when you go in to talk about any type of idea that you might have.
With your background at the SBDC, your education, things like that, in your mind, what are some of Southeast Utah's greatest challenges for small businesses?
From what I've seen so far, we relied very, very heavily on organic tourism in southeastern Utah. And that worked really, really well for many, many years. Sadly, COVID came, and our international tourism in San Juan County, we're a lot of international tourism. They come from Grand County and up through San Juan County, and then up into Moab. And sadly, once COVID came, that international travel was quite literally cut off. And we realized very quickly that we can't rely on that international travel alone. We needed to create other revenue sources, other ways of getting our word out there, that marketing level that we had not developed before then. So in our area, we don't have a major highway. Some of the rural areas, like for example, the area I grew up in, which is Beaver, Utah, we had I-15, we had a major highway going through our town. And so we could rely on that. Down over here, we don't have that. We don't have that major highway as a source of commerce. We have to look at other ways of developing income. Several of our businesses sadly don't have a website. You'll see when you come into my center, I'm big focus on website development, what's your online presence, things like that. Because if we don't have an online presence, we have something like COVID-19 happen and it cuts off all of our income sources. And many businesses saw that the hard way of what that looks like. Proper marketing, online presence, and creating those additional revenue sources that we so desperately need as businesses. And we saw that in the last year very, very desperately. The other thing that I'd like to see, or that I see, is we were lacking in internet resources. And that is changing very, very quickly because of COVID. But for a long time, a lot of our areas did not have broadband, did not have the internet resources that they needed to go online and to make those changes. And so I love seeing those changes, but developing those, taking that connection between the urban centers up in our Salt Lake area and being able to connect with them and develop those connections is very, very important for business development in rural areas as well.
That causes me to kind of follow that up one more time. Do you have, with the SBDC or anything like that, kind of a 1-2-3 step approach or something that would kind of walk people through an internet presence for their business? I mean, is the first step, for example, claiming your business on Google, or the second step, developing a website, something like that, where you can help them walk through that process?
So the first process we actually do is go through the branding of your business first. Then we create your website. After that, because you don't want to create your website first without knowing what your brand looks like, or you're repeating yourself. And then after that, we teach them how to move them through the Google, for example, the Google process of SEO, proper online presence and things like that. So that's the steps that we go through here, and make sure that they're set up for success as far as online presence and making sure that they stand that up. But that branding process gets skipped more often than not, and that branding process is critical. The colors that you pick for your business is so incredibly important. You know, the colors that you pick, you know, how those affect your clientele. One particular, like for example, when I first opened up my first business, you know, I didn't know colors affected anything. And so I just picked two colors that I liked. Well, my clientele was women, but I picked two very masculine colors. And so I had men coming into my business and I couldn't figure out why my ideal client was women. And yet I was attracting men. And so knowing that and knowing how to attract your ideal client and making sure that you're on that right path rather than creating a website and then having to adjust it after that. You're just doubling your work. So branding first, create your website, and then follow it up with proper online presence. So your SEOs, your social media presence, all of that kind of stuff is falling after that.
Thanks. That helps me if I was ever to start a business. I'm a little hesitant because I'm a scaredy cat, but...
Looks like the geek is on the sneak. It's time to play Geeky or Game Over.
The next portion of our interview I wanted to go over and talk to you about is kind of a little game. We call it Geeky or Game Over. And what it is it's kind of a trivia game that I'll ask you a short phrase and you can tell me if you're geeky about it, if you really like it or enjoy it. And if you've never heard of it, then you don't like it, you just say game over. And you're more than welcome to elaborate any further on any of your answers. And I might throw in a follow-up question to some of your answers, but for the most part, it's just a quick trivia game. So our first one is board game.
I'd probably be geeky on that one. But my favorite game is Canasta because that's the family game that we always play. So that's not really a board game, but that's our old lady game that we always play.
Game of Thrones.
I'm just barely getting into that. So I'd be geeky on that, but I have not watched the full series. There are multiple series, I guess there are, but I'm just getting into that.
Video game.
I played a lot when I was little, so I was geeky when I was little, but I don't play much anymore.
Actually, I'm in the same boat with you. I have these various systems and things at home and a collection of games collecting dust, but my kids might play them once in a while and you know, they're just a shrine for me. I don't do anything with them. ATVs and OHVs.
You know, I'm learning to, I absolutely love those. I'm very geeky on those and enjoy those quite a bit.
How about Star Trek?
Game over on that. I've never been able to get into that.
Computers.
I'm pretty geeky on computers. I'm pretty high tech when it comes to stuff like that.
How about Lord of the Rings?
Yeah, that's game over on me. I don't get into that one either.
Basketball.
I'm geeky on basketball. I played for years and years, blew out both my knees, but still love to watch. Can't play much anymore, but I love to watch it.
Star Wars.
You know, you can put me a geeky on that one because if it's on, I'll sit and watch, but it's not something I would choose.
Walking Dead.
I've never seen that. So that one's going to be a game over.
And finally, Marvel Comics.
I actually am very geeky on Marvel Comics. I love Marvel Comics. And I hope that Disney owns them, that they're going to be still just as good.
Any favorite Marvel comic characters or movies or things that you've seen or viewed?
So Black Panther was actually my very first Marvel comic. So I love that one just because it was the first one that I fell in love with. But I think that Captain America, that was another, they're all so good. Ant-Man is another funny one. I enjoy that. I don't know, but I always go back to Black Panther just because it was my first one that I got into, and that got me into the series. So
comparing DC comics and Marvel comics, is Marvel better for you?
If I'm going to binge watch, I'm going to go DC. If I'm going to go to the theater and actually watch a movie, I'm going to go with Marvel. So it just kind of depends on, but binge watching is definitely DC.
Very good to know.
Thank you.
Well, let's get back to the rest of our interview, I guess. And I think you alluded to this a little bit, but what brought you specifically to Blanding and the Southeast Utah area?
So I filled out an application for this business consultant position that I thought was for Utah State in Logan. And I get a phone call, and at the very end of the phone call, I'm setting up the interview, and he's like, "Oh yeah, I want to remind you, this position's in Blanding, Utah." And I think I laughed, like I literally belted out a belly laugh. And I said, okay, got off the phone, and I said, "What? There's no way, no way they're getting me to move to Blanding, Utah. What am I thinking? I should have just canceled the interview." I get on, I search for rental properties, nothing. I can't even like find anything to live in if I were to take the job. I have no idea cost of living, anything like that. I do this interview, and interview went really, really well. I love the job, you know, what they went over the details. And then I get off the interview about 10 minutes later, who is my boss now, Justin, calls me. He's like, "What if we had you come down for a few days? You'll get to see the area, see the people you're working with, and then you can make the decision." I said, okay. So I drove down to the area, completely fell in love with the area, completely fell in love with the people. They got me. And within 7 days I had moved. So it took 3 days and on an on-site interview for me to say yes. And then within 7 days I'd moved down here. So that was how quick it all fell into place. The rest is history. So I am definitely a city slicker here. I wear heels and dresses and things like that. And I know that that stands out like a sore thumb because it's jeans and t-shirts and very casual around here because we're in rural Utah, but that's okay. Some people I think have some bets to see how long I'll last. I think last time I heard they were like some 18 month bets back in February and stuff like that. But you know, now I'm buying a house and I'm setting down some roots. So it's some interesting situation, but I'm really glad I made that drive and move ultimately. So it's been a lot of fun.
Following up on that, what would be your advice for other city slickers as far as giving Southern Utah, Southeast Utah a chance?
You know, you've got to get in and give the area a chance. So initially when I moved in, I didn't go and I didn't explore the area because it was COVID. There really wasn't a lot going on, right? So I stayed at home and I got really bored really quickly. And then I realized, you know, I got to get out. So I went out and I started hiking and I started exploring the area. And yeah, because of COVID, there wasn't a lot of activities going on in the town and stuff, but I could still get out and go hiking. I could still get out and go to the reservoir and to Lake Powell and different things like that and really see the area. Get in and enjoy the area, try things. I hate hiking with a passion, but I love the view. And I'm learning to that the hike is worth the view. And different things like that. So get out, explore, get out of your comfort zone and actually see the area. I have a lot of people that ask me, "Aren't you bored? Don't you get bored? There's nothing to do down there." And honestly, I don't know that you could ever get bored. If you honestly open up and think about all the things there are to do down here, I don't think you'll ever get bored. You just have to be open to what this area has to give you, whether going to Moab and having a great meal at a restaurant or going down to Monument Valley and seeing the incredible buttes and that entire area. It's just an incredible area. Just have to be open to what the area has to give you and getting out of your comfort zone. Like I said, I hate hiking, but I'm learning that it's worth the view. So it's taking some time.
Well, and you know, there's not shopping malls and things, but Amazon's just a click away, right? And
it's true.
There's like you said, there's so many things to see and do in and around the area that I don't think you could get bored.
No, there's not. I personally have not missed the shopping and things like that. Because just like you said, these days you can get it delivered right to your door between Amazon, Sam's Club, Costco, all of those deliver right to your door. So and the grocery stores have all your milk, your produce, all that stuff that you need. You don't miss any of that. Everything gets delivered right to your door. It's almost nicer. Christmas shopping was a breeze. It all got delivered to my door and I didn't have to fight the crowds. I'm just saying. So yeah, it's been a lot of fun and I haven't missed those kind of things.
Anything that you do miss from city slicker life?
I miss a great like spa salon, like to get my nails, my hair done and things like that. There really isn't one like that down here. And that's the one thing I do miss. I have scoliosis, so I miss like going and getting a massage, a really great massage. And I'm sure there are probably masseuses in the area, and it comes down, it goes down to, you know, my job. I need to make connections with them and help them market better. Because I know that there's probably more like me and tourists coming through the area that would love a great massage. It's just a matter of knowing where they're at. And I haven't been able to find one yet, but I'm sure that there are in the area.
If not, sounds like a great business opportunity, right?
Definitely. Definitely.
Well, this kind of wraps up our interview today, but I have one final question for you. And it's kind of a 1 to 10 scale. And you mentioned to me about being geeky about ATVs. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how geeky are you about ATVs? And how geeky would you say the SBDC is and Spark is with its co-working space on a 1 to 10 scale?
So I would put myself at a 6 or 7 on an ATV, because I can't tell you what kind they are and who makes it and all of that kind of stuff. But you put me on one, that's a whole different story. I can drive them like nobody's business, but I can't tell you all the details about their engines or anything like that, like most people can. As far as Spark being geeky, we're pretty geeky. We're pretty high tech. Our training center is a full broadcast out training center that sits 40 people. It's really high tech. It's the top of state of the art, which is really, really amazing. And then our co-working space has 16 full computer ready workspace stations that are top of the line. And I did that on purpose, because one of our initiatives at the Spark Center here is remote workforce ready initiative. And so we wanted to make sure that as we're bringing in these remote jobs into our county for economic development here, that we could offer not only a place for them to come work, but also make sure that we had the infrastructure, including the computer workstation and things like that. So we wanted to make sure that any job that they got, whether it be coding or bookkeeping or administrative assistant, that we had the infrastructure in place for them so that they could accept any job that they have. So we're pretty key on that end. We also have a massive media center too. So
any direction on how somebody could participate in the co-working space, a website to visit or a phone number to call or anything you'd want to share?
Definitely. If you go to usu.edu and you search Small Business Development Center or USU Spark, and that's SPARC. As in certificate, you'll go right directly to our website, and you can book a tour, you can book a day pass, you can book any of that stuff right there on our website. All that information is available right there, as well as all of our trainings that are available.
Well, great, Megan, and it has been a fun opportunity to get to know you a little bit and talk with you. So any last words you want to share with us before we close?
Oh, I appreciate the time to being able to share what we do here at the center. It's been an amazing learning experience for me to move down to Southern Utah and to be able to expand and hopefully be able to help the areas and the things that I feel like I know very well. So I appreciate the time.
Until next time, everyone, you've been listening to Southeast Geeks.